Hey, this is Melissa Bartel, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub.
I only touch your love when the tips of my fingers try to clutch your love. I'm sick of the soap in a bathtub, love. I need something to hold.
It's Holidaylies here at BathtubMermaid.com and at my blog at MissMeliz.com. That means that I'm sharing with you this month all of my Holidaylies posts. This one is called Tikkun Olam and Me. It was my friend Carmi Levy who introduced me to the phrase Tikkun Olam, but oh, what a huge impact those two words have had on my life. It's weird the way things resonate. You read a blog post about a concept, and that sits in your brain and stews for a while. It marinates, really, soaking up some of your flavor, sharing some of its own. Then you make a connection with someone else entirely, and the first thing suddenly bubbles up from the back of your brain, and you present it to the new person, and suddenly connections are formed, substantive questions are answered, information and appreciation are shared. 6 or 7 years ago, Carmi talked about Tikkun Olam in his blog, and later that year, or maybe the year after, he did a last-minute interview with me for All Things Girl when we had a planned Man of the Moment back out. 5 years ago, I was approached by a publicist working with Peter Yarrow about the children's books he was publishing, many based on some of his songs. I have signed copies of two of them. And that led to my second time seeing him live. The first was in 2002 for my 32nd birthday, in a special concert talk thing at the local Jewish Community Center in Dallas, and that led to an in-depth interview with him, again, for All Things Girl. One of the things I made sure to ask him was about Tikkun Olam, and this is part of what he said. Peter said, Tikkun Olam means that each of us has the responsibility to repair the world and heal the world, not alone by ourselves, but we each have the responsibility to do what we can in our own individual ways to help heal and repair the world. This is, for me, the most important and inspiring teaching of Judaism. I firmly believe that if we all devote ourselves to pursuing Tikkun Olam as a central part of our lives, the world will get better and better. In the words of the great moral leader Mahatma Gandhi of India, he continued, who changed the world and inspired so many of us, including Barack Obama, we must be the change we seek to make in the world, which means we cannot work toward greater humanity in some organization and then go home to humiliate and mistreat our friends, our family, or even our dogs, our cats, or farm animals. We must truly live and be the answer to the trials of the world we seek to heal. That quote is from our emailed interview between me and Peter Yarrow in either November or December of 2009. Having grown up on his music and later shared chocolate-covered strawberries with him at a benefit concert, it's possible his words have more impact on me than they would on someone who grew up ignorant of folk music and of who Peter, Paul, and Mary were, but an impact they did have echoing down the years. Last February, I was at Dallas Comic-Con's annual Sci-Fi Expo. It's the most intimate of the three conventions they hold each year. It turned out to be the most intellectual con I'd ever attended, with Jamie Murray talking about feminism, strong female characters in science fiction, and women in media. Saul Rubinek, digressing from Warehouse 13 questions, talked about doing good works, and Peter Weller gave us a lecture on Renaissance art, and Richard Dreyfuss spoke about the importance of education and activism. I stood in Mr. Dreyfuss's line after his talk because his appearance at cons is a rare thing and because on some level it really annoyed me that even when he was speaking about real things, he kept getting questions like, in Jaws, how much time did you spend in the water with the fake shark? Okay, that might be a tiny bit of an exaggeration, but only a tiny bit. I wanted to see if I could get him to engage. Also, he had a fantastic hat and you all know I'm a sucker for headgear. I asked him what Tikkun Olam meant to him. He lit up, and we chatted for about 10 minutes, which isn't a long time in the grand scheme of things, but it's longer than is typical when the person you're talking to is supposed to basically be an autograph and picture machine. I owe that encounter to Carmi introducing me all those years ago to this concept. So why bring it up today? Well, partly it's because on Monday night, Carmi asked the question on his blog, Tuesday night, What's the most important little thing that's happened to you lately or ever? Now, I answered in his comments box, which much of the things that I just told all of you, but, you know, in much more concise and also more disjointed fashion. And I wanted to expand on what I'd written to him, and partly because it's also the start of Hanukkah, and even though that's not a holiday I actually celebrate, though we did when my mother and stepfather were first married, largely to acknowledge that part of my stepbrother's heritage, it is one I sort of observe. I mark its existence. Over the next few days, I'll take a break from listening to Christmas carols all the time, even though I love Christmas music, and I'll listen to the Hanukkah channel on the Sirius XM radio station, or radio in their car. By the way, it's channel 76. Today, listening to it, I learned that there is such a thing as country Hanukkah music. Who knew? Also, this week, I'll probably fry up some latkes, and I might think about lighting some extra candles. I don't actually own a menorah. I'll also spare a few minutes to send up a prayer in remembrance of Bubby, my stepfather's mother, who grated potatoes by hand to make latkes for us one year and who loved to hear me sing and who would light up like a little kid getting the best present ever whenever she sat at a piano and played music of her own. I'll also think about this concept of healing the world and consider what I can do better or more or differently to meet my obligation, because no matter what religion we practice, what culture we come from, we all have this moral imperative, I believe, to leave the earth a better place than we found it. And as one year is dying and a new one is waiting to dawn, that seems a better use of brain power than concocting frivolous resolutions. The Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is recorded and produced using the Boss Jock iPad app. It's licensed under a Creative Commons International Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license, which means you can share it, you can reuse it, you just have to give me credit and you can't make money from it. Music for The Bathtub Mermaid is provided by Mevio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. The standard opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The standard closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. Additional music used for the Holidaylies project is A Podcast Christmas Theme by Tom Shad and Village Song composed by David Popper and performed by Cello Journey. Questions or comments? Visit me at my website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, and use the comment form at the bottom of each entry. Or you can also follow me or contact me via Twitter, at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Steam is drifting into the night. It's cold outside. You're coming off a scary street. Come on inside. Well, I know how it feels, babe, to feel unclean. Most everybody knows to feel that stain so deep inside. Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub.